Hello, hello. Welcome to the season finale of the first season of One Wild World, a podcast by The Echo. I'm your host, Matthew Juno.
And I'm the editor, Mike Davis.
Mike, we've covered some amazing topics so far this season, from the smallest of zoos to chicken apartments and research and conservation efforts done all over the world. But today, we bring you a little closer to home. In this episode, we're going to get a bit introspective, and we're going to share some of the favorite moments from this first season, hear a few behind-the-scenes stories, and then hear back from the fans.
I'm looking forward to kind of going through it, because this has been a pretty wild ride. This is the first season of a podcast that either of us have ever produced, so it'll be cool to kind of overview it together and then also hear from some of our listeners, because without them, this would not be a thing. So
I can only shout into an empty void for so long. So it's great to have that reassurance that what we're doing has some impact and some traction behind it. Definitely.
Exactly.
Putting together this first season has been really interesting to see how much work goes into a podcast, because it's not just as simple as plugging in a microphone and then making it work. I definitely have an appreciation for podcasts that every week release a new episode. I'm very appreciative that we are taking the season approach, because it gives us the time to coordinate some guests, plan out our stories and how we're going to engage those listeners and kind of create a plan. And that ongoing development cycle would just be a lot of work, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. It's very much a project. And like you said, it was cool to get a feel for the coordination aspect, planning guests, recording it, exporting that, editing it, making sure that we're not wasting any of the listeners' time by removing filler words or whatever, using the best possible tools that we know of to create the best product. And I think we really did a great job. This first season came through really strong, and we had a lot of interesting content on here, and I think a lot of people learned a lot of really cool new things, which we will hear about. So,
oh, we're definitely going to hear about that. And I'm pretty happy with how this season came out. And I'm really glad to hear some of the favorite moments from our listeners and share out some of the things that I heard. One listener said something that made me very happy, which was that they personally reached out to the Northern Colorado Wildlife Center and spoke with Talon and got some advice on how to deal with an annoying family of turkeys that's been living in their neighborhood.
Wow, that's incredible. Like, to have that connection come about through the podcast is super cool. And I hope that their problem was solved. Did you hear from them whether it was solved?
I didn't hear what the final result was, but if I had to guess, Talon is a pretty smart man. And so I'm sure he had some advice on how to deal with turkeys.
For sure. And like, his expertise was evidenced very strongly in, I believe that was the fifth episode. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's kind of been a theme throughout this entire first season, is that the guests that we've had on have just been amazing. I certainly know a lot about animals, but if it was just me talking about animals, I could maybe only fill up a couple episodes of a podcast. So to be able to have these guests who have spent years dedicating themselves to working with these animals, it brings a whole other level of expertise. And then again, the whole point of this podcast is to share the work that these people are doing so that they can get support. So
yes,
if you need help with animals, you know where you can go. And so to hear from a fan that they actually took that step was really a moment where I felt very appreciative of that response.
Definitely. And I think this podcast is such a great format for highlighting these people, because first of all, they're all very personable and they're such sweethearts. I mean, working with animals and wildlife tends to attract very empathetic, compassionate, and caring people. And that came through in a very obvious way, hearing these people expand upon the things that they're very passionate about and have a ton of expertise in. It's just warmed my heart. And I know I've learned a ton of new facts about how to live better in a world that has animals in it, whether it be wildlife, livestock, or pets. And not only has it been a benefit to our listeners, but it's also been a huge benefit to us as well. So it's just such a win-win.
Definitely. I don't know what type of job field attracts jerks, but it's definitely not the animal field, which is really nice.
Exactly.
I heard from a listener that they'll put on the episodes when they're hanging out with their baby, and their baby gets really into our theme song. And that also is just a great feeling to be like, yeah, you know what? It is a banger. And I'm glad that even from a young age, there's some appreciation out for it.
That's so cool to hear. I mean, we've been using that song by Roger. Shout out to Roger.
Shout out.
It's Roger. You can find his music on any streaming platform. He's been gracious enough to let us use that song for years and years at this point. So go over there and support him as well. He's got some other awesome songs as well. So,
yeah. Another listener really enjoyed the What's That Animal category, and especially the one about the turtle eating some lettuce, because they really didn't know what it was and they were very interested in finding out what that answer was.
Yeah, that was quite a mysterious What's That Animal segment, because for all we know, that could have been me just munching on some lettuce, you know, or you, or the guests themselves, you know?
Yeah.
What if the guest is a turtle? I don't know.
That's in season two. We interview a turtle this week.
we're going straight to the animal.
Yeah, cutting out the middleman. That was the backup plan, was if that file got corrupted of the turtle eating lettuce, for one of us just to reproduce the sound with celery or something.
Yeah, do some ADR on that.
Yeah. I know for me, one of my favorite moments was reaching out to organizations or people that I've known have been doing work with animals for a very long time. Some of them from Instagram have been pages that I've followed for a long time, like Aussie Ark, and being able to have a conversation with this place that has had such an impact on my life or been something I've been curious about for years. And finally being able to sit down with them. And in the case of Aussie Ark, that was even more special because I was coordinating with a ranger who was out in the field in a completely different time zone. So that episode we had to record for me kind of later at night so that for him it was early in the morning before he went out into the field doing all of the surveys that they do in the bush there.
Yeah, I think having that kind of international scale explored in that episode was a really cool kind of first for the podcast. And that was actually probably my favorite episode as well, because it's just really cool to hear about the very interesting evolutions that happen on such a massive island as Australia. It's been separated from the rest of the world for so long that it's like a separate evolutionary branch, and the conditions are really interesting there too environmentally. So it's really awesome to hear more in-depth information on Australia and the wildlife there, and obviously having that come through with the Tasmanian devils was pretty cool. So,
and I mean, who doesn't love to hear an Australian accent? I mean, it's just a classic. I'm curious, did you have any other favorite moments from this first season?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at the whole season, I thought the start with Amy McFarland was really strong. You know, she addressed some misconceptions with beef production, which I think are very common. And then in addition to that, across the season, we brought in a few different wildlife rehabilitators, which was cool to hear about their perspective on a very hands-on interface between the human world and wildlife. And they all kind of gravitated to different types of animals too in their careers in or outside of rehabilitation. And then lastly, there was a lot of reptile love this season, and I'm a huge fan, especially since I am a snake dad myself. I have a little corn snake named Syl. It's kind of a funny story how I got him. My former bandmate from Chess at Breakfast, Caleb, he moved to Portland and couldn't take Syl with him. So I ended up becoming Syl's dad. And now we actually share custody. So I'm going to keep Syl for a few years. And then if I like want to go travel or something, then I'll hand him off to Caleb. And so we call ourselves co-dads. So
co-dads, such loving co-dads. It's really great to see reptiles getting the love that they need.
Exactly.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about in this episode is a few behind the scenes stories. And for me, one theme that kind of ran true with putting together this whole season was trying to be intentional. And a part that became very fun for me, but also became something I wanted to do right, was my favorite game, and I know all of the listeners' favorite game, What's That Animal? Because we had a really good diversity of episodes. I wanted to make sure that this first season wasn't just all wildlife rehabilitation centers or researchers or people that work with one specific type of mammal, that we included the invertebrates, that we included the reptiles, the birds, and trying to get audio that was creative to bring into that segment wasn't always easy. There was, especially with reptiles and insects, a lot of the time they're mostly silent, but they will make noise when they're threatened. And so a lot of the audio that you can find if you're searching for insect noises or reptile noises has people that are kind of provoking these animals. I saw a lot of videos that were people poking reptiles with sticks or poking insects with their fingers to try to get them to make this noise. And it became this ethical dilemma for me where I was like, well, on one hand, I want to share the noise that this animal makes, but I don't really want to support people going out there and like harassing wildlife. And so there was a lot of really good audio that I had that I ended up choosing different animals for because I wanted to make sure that we had good audio that was from an ethical source for that segment.
Yeah, I mean, you made the right decision in many circumstances there because, yeah, I mean, we're here to help animals and help people learn how to live better with animals. And highlighting the sounds of fight or flight or fear responses from these animals is not what we're looking for. Although I could see in some circumstances that from an educational standpoint, it's like if an animal's making this sound, you should get away or something like that. But yeah, I mean, we wanted to keep this lighthearted and fun. And I think a lot of people really responded positively to What's That Animal? Did you have any other like behind the scenes things that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I think the introductions and outros that we would plan were also something that I tried to be intentional with. And I feel like I got better at writing the scripts for those as we got further and further into the podcast. Initially, I think my mindset with those was there's some podcasts that I listen to where it seems like those introductions go on these wild tangents and they take forever to get to the conversation. And so for me, I wanted to keep them kind of short and sweet and concise.
Yep.
Because I know oftentimes people aren't coming to listen to me. They're coming to listen to the amazing guests and the like area of expertise that they have. So I wanted to keep those short. But as we got further and further into the podcast, I realized that I have a pretty unique opportunity here to talk about some things that are happening in the animal world, whether that's deforestation or biodiversity, and that this can be a platform to talk about those things and reiterate how important those are or how detrimental deforestation can be, and also then provide some steps so that people just don't have to feel bad about that, but they can take some efforts in their life. And that was also a point I tried to make in these conversations with guests, was trying to pull something from them that the average listener in their day-to-day life can implement in their life to appreciate that animal a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. That's the best approach, is like to educate people on how to better appreciate and respect natural spaces and the animals that live in them. I also think a great go-to question for all these guests was misconceptions. You know, like that was always such good material, I thought. In addition to all those behind the scenes things, I wanted to talk a little bit about the editing side of things. Once we planned and recorded the episodes, there was still a lot of work to do. I would take the recordings that we captured over a video chat platform and then drop them into a program called Descript, which basically transcribes the whole conversation into text. And then you can kind of like edit the text and it edits the audio associated with that text at the same time. It was such a great time-saving tool. But even still, using Descript to shave tons of time off of each episode, it still took a good 8 hours to really bring the episode to its final form, because we also had those intros and outros and then the transitions in between and then final mastering. So like, it's quite a process producing a good quality podcast, and we didn't know everything that we were going to be faced with, but I think we were able to deliver a good product regardless. It was fun to learn everyone's filler words. Like each guest kind of had different filler words, like, you know, or like, or everybody leans on those things. So it's kind of an interesting thing.
I love that you said, at the end of right? that sentence.
And then another thing I really enjoyed about this whole process in terms of behind the scenes was getting creative with promotion videos on Instagram. It was really fun to get back into social media content and trying to drive traffic to the podcast and play the hashtag game and get some new followers in the process, do the stories, all that jazz. It's fun to get back into it for a good cause. So,
yeah, another part that was really interesting when using that Descript platform was it made what's called an audiogram, which if you saw our Instagram, either stories or posts, were something that we featured as a little sneak peek of the conversation that we had, where it would take that conversation and, like you would say, it transcribes that audio. And so then we could play basically a video from the podcast conversation, but it has all of the words. So if you're just scrolling through, maybe you're at work trying to be a little sneaky and check social media, but you don't want to have the audio on, you can read the conversation, and it's just another way to engage with people. So that I thought was a really interesting little behind the scenes peek of some of the programs that we use. So now I want to transition to hearing from the fans a little bit. We posted some questions on our social medias and shared those out and talked about, I was really curious to hear what some of the favorite episodes were or segments, what guests should we have on next, and then surprising things that they learned. So I want to dive into that right now. The first thing that we posted was, what was either your favorite episode or your favorite segment? And by far, the favorite episode that we ended up hearing back from listeners was the Butterfly Pavilion. And people really liked that there was dual guests in that podcast and how balanced that conversation was between those guests. In general, one fan said that they ended up learning a ton about bugs this season. Another said that they were really fascinated by the Butterfly Pavilion's projects in Africa and how they're using insects to help human communities solve problems, which is really interesting. Another fan said that Rich and Shiran are both really engaging speakers, and I have to agree, they really know their stuff. I felt like I was really talking with experts that are great communicators and very intentional in that, and it was a longer episode. So to hear that it was some listeners' favorites was really eye-opening, because it was a worry of mine as I saw that time of that conversation going longer and longer. I had this worry of, oh my gosh, like, are listeners even going to want to listen to this? But turns out they do, and they loved it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see that there was so much positive response from the longest episode. You know, it was almost 50 minutes. whereas a lot of the other ones were more in like the 30s range. So it's really cool to get that feedback. And to the point about bugs, there was so much good information about bugs this season. And I think people need to hear and know more about bugs just in general, because they're freaking everywhere. So
I think there's more individual ants by a great number than there are humans. Like, human population just breached 8 billion. And I think if you look at the individual count for ants, it's ridiculous. So, you know, we got to respect the larger population out there and give them some credit.
Is it like the number of ants or the biomass or probably both? I mean, one would necessitate the other.
All right. After a quick Google search, it's estimated that there are about 20 quadrillion ants on Earth at any given time. So,
what?
You know, they've got a leg up on humans, or should I say maybe 6 legs up on humans.
He said it.
I went there and I did it. Another episode that I heard as a favorite was the episode with Rob Shore and Climbers for Bat Conservation. A listener who is a rock climber said that they might be a little biased because they're a rock climber, but they really enjoyed this conversation as a mix of science and recreation and how we can engage community members in doing research with animals.
Yeah, 100%. To a similar point with the humans versus ants ratio, there's only so many biologists, but there's a lot of people out there that can help the biologists. And that actually was covered in the butterfly episode as well. Chiron was very encouraging of community science, and Rob Shore doing Climbers for Bat Conservation is a fantastic example of that.
Yeah. And then another question we asked was, who should we have on for season 2? And it was really interesting. We got multiple people that ended up saying the same thing. So I'm going to work hard to make that happen. They said getting someone on who specializes in aquatic animals. And I think for me, hearing about octopus from someone who works with them or researches them would be really fascinating, because they're intelligent animals and they're capable of just doing amazing things. Camouflage and how they use all of their arms is just fascinating to me. The other one that we heard back a lot from was trying to hear from zoos, because zoos kind of sometimes have this controversial aspect around them of, well, is it ethical to have these animals that should be out in the wild in captivity? And what does that look like? There are certainly some zoos that do great things. And so hearing from someone who works from zoos and getting an inside look is something that I think would be really engaging.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, zoos come in many shapes and sizes. And I think more often than not, they're doing positive work for the animal worlds and conserving species that maybe are endangered or are completely extinct in the wilds. It's really valuable to have those resources, I think.
Mike, I'm curious, if you could have your dream guest on for season 2, what kind of topic would you want them to cover?
Well, I studied ecology, so I kind of have a broader perspective on biology, more including plants than animals, but it's all kind of one ecosystem. And a frequent topic in my education was protected lands and the different land management agencies. Obviously, the most well-known land management agency is the National Park Service, and the NPS really blazed the trail for protecting pristine lands across the globe. And that's something that we heard about with some of the international folks too, was having these protected lands. To interview one or multiple people from the National Park Service who work with wildlife populations there would be super cool. I mean, I love the Great Sand Dunes National Park in Southern Colorado. I think it'd be cool to get in touch with someone from there and hear about animal communities that exist in this very interesting, almost one-of-a-kind area with, you have these dunes and then right next to them you have mountains and you have this stream coming through. So I think it'd be really cool to hear from someone that works there.
Yeah, in general, I agree. I mean, the national parks, it would be interesting to hear from them because you're right. On one hand, they're protecting these amazing natural landscapes. And on the other side of things, they want people to come see these natural landscapes. So how do you balance visitation with conservation, and how do those clash and how do those meet? I think that could be a really engaging and surprising conversation.
Agreed.
I think that really transitions us well to hearing about some of the surprising things our listeners learned from this podcast. Jake said that he's shocked that we made him think about bugs and snakes in a positive way. And he even went to say he's not ready to get snakes or spiders for a new choice in pets. But still, those conversations went a long way. Katie said that she knew about the crazy amount of beetles in the world from her work at the Mobius Discovery Center, but that every time she hears the statistics about just how many there are, she's shocked. And then in all caps, she wrote, "So many beetles." A comment that we actually got a couple times was that people were surprised to learn about the issue of the snake eating the golf ball because they look like eggs, and that for Kenzie, that kept popping into her head for weeks after she heard the podcast. For Evan, just hearing about all the amount and variety of wildlife that rehabilitation centers work for and the unique scenarios that they have to be ready for was really surprising.
Oh yeah, they got to be on their toes.
Talon said something before we started recording that I thought was really interesting, where he said that, you know, for people, they can go to hospitals. For pets, they can go to veterinarians, but wild animals didn't have anyone until rehabilitation centers. And so that's kind of the void that they fill. I think it's really interesting that all of the rehabilitation centers have this love for our wild animals that are out there in nature, from, you know, the super charismatic animals like deer all the way down to a mouse, and treating those animals with the same level of respect, and not just being like, oh, well, it's a mouse, like whatever, let's focus on the deer. You know, treating them with respect is big.
For sure.
And then finally, Emily said that she was really surprised by learning the decrease in bugs on the windshield when you're on a road trip is actually a way to see the decrease in bugs in our environment, and then learning how that might impact the whole ecosystem. And it's something I think about when I do road trips now.
Yeah, it's evidence that we need to be aware of these changes and make changes of our own to try and mitigate the issues that we're seeing in our environment. So Matthew, what was the most surprising thing you heard from the podcast? And you don't have to limit it to one if you don't want to.
I have a background in education, and one of my favorite things was educating children, just because they can get so passionate and excited about animals. And it's really awesome when you can see that excitement and you can build upon it and help them connect better with nature or with pets or livestock. But one thing that we heard multiple times throughout this first season was how, especially with reptiles or spiders, how the CSU Bug Zoo or Hawk and Carlton, how they actually have to educate the adults differently because they have those phobias kind of set in stone, versus with kids, they can reach them before those are present. And that was really surprising to me, to think like, oh yeah, you know, usually it is the kids that are really excited or want to have that opportunity, and the adults don't get close to the animals. So hearing how they approach those topics was really surprising for me.
It was cool to hear about how education with children can really reduce the phobias with animals that really aren't that dangerous. And also, ironically, the phobia can prevent people from engaging with even information about these animals. And therefore, it just continues the fear cycle. Like, they continue to know not much about the animal, and therefore they continue to be fearful. But if you're educated about the animals, then you have an enhanced ability to discern whether there's a real danger or not with them. So,
definitely. Do you have any surprising things that you learned during this first season?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I had no idea that Tasmanian devils were marsupials. They're the most rambunctious little marsupials you've ever seen in your life. But they're also pretty darn cool. And if you can get past all the snarling and the scavenging. They're also pretty cute, I think, but
they are pretty cute.
And then I thought it was cool to hear about the kind of spectrum between wolves and dogs in wolf-dog hybrids. With Keith LaPosh, he went through this phenotyping checklist where they would check off different characteristics of the wolf dog to be able to determine whether it's a low content, 5 to 25%, a mid content, like 30 to 60%, and then a high content, like 70 or above, or even a pure wolf in some circumstances. So I thought that was interesting to hear about. I just kind of like assume that they're half and half, but with wolf dog breeding being around for such a long time, unfortunately, the spectrum has become very granular and detailed. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, especially that he elaborated when a wolf and a dog do mate, that first litter is going to be entirely 50-50.
Right.
But then after that, or if you breed, you know, a 50-50 wolf-dog hybrid with another 50-50 wolf-dog hybrid, you might get in that litter some that are basically more dogs, some that are mid, some that are basically full wolf. And it was really interesting to hear how that worked, that the first generation is always 50-50. That seemed surprising to me.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Well, again, this first season has been so exciting to put together, and I'm glad to hear from listeners a little bit and make this a two-way street, especially hearing what types of animals interest people to have on for future episodes. And I wanted to make sure before we close out to send out a special thanks to all of our guests that we had on, especially for talking to us about all the ways that in our day-to-day lives we interact with animals, either directly or indirectly, and then for giving us great ways to support the important work that they do. I feel very privileged to have had these conversations, but then also to share these conversations out to everyone.
Yeah, big thanks to all of our guests, all of our listeners. And I want to acknowledge the good work that you and I did, Matthew. Like, this has been an achievement, and I'm really looking forward to the second season. We've got our rhythm down with this, and we've tested out a lot of different things, and we'll continue to test out new fun things for our listeners in the future. But I'm really happy with the kind of formula that we've come up with, and looking forward to continuing the momentum into the next season and even beyond. So,
yeah, definitely. I think to leave on one final animal metaphor, I want to treat this podcast like how animals who have antlers grow. That for season two, we might be leaving for a little bit. We might be shedding that first round of antlers, but we're going to come back better. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back more focused and efficient. So I'm really excited for season two, and I'm very excited to continue to share it out to everyone listening.
Yeah. So what does that mean? That means we had 14 episodes, 13 or 14 episodes this first season. That means next season, we're going to have 140 episodes. And then we're just going to keep adding zeros every single season until we're literally just always recording podcasts. Like, we're recording podcasts 24 hours a day.
I'm not going to stop until there's one podcast for every ant on Earth. That's my personal mission.
All right.
And the only way that we can do that is by closing out season one and getting ready for season two. So we'll see you next time on One Wild World. If you enjoyed this conversation, subscribe. And consider supporting us directly at patreon.com/onewildpodcast. Here, you'll find exclusive content, like the full video versions of our conversations. To find out more about the other work we do, visit our website at onewildpodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram at @TheEchoAnimals, and follow our TikTok at creature.feature. On behalf of all animals, thank you for listening.